The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Breaking news as we begin the day with Adam Schefter here. Adam, what's the latest that you have?
Well, Laura, moments ago, the NFL just announced that Josh Gordon has been conditionally reinstated. He has to pass through COVID protocols, but once he does, he could be eligible to play in the final two regular season games of the year for Seattle. Some more help potentially on the way for the Seahawks, Laura.
Very interesting there as we welcome you to NFL Live. Week 12 finally in the books, I think. And no, it really is. After a little Wednesday afternoon football, we'll get to that. Maybe the biggest injury also to a contender this season in a minute. Keyshawn Johnson's here, Dan Orlovsky there, Marcus Spears, and you just saw Adam Schefter. Let's get right back to Schefty with the biggest news of the day. And let's start with our top story. Adam, Bud Dupree leaving the game in the second half. What do we know about the injury?
Laura, out for the season, torn ACL, and from the moment he went down on that play, non-contact, you knew it was going to be bad. It's a blow for the Steelers defense, which already has lost Devin Bush, and it's a blow to Bud Dupree, who is the franchise player playing on a one-year deal and eligible to become a free agent after this season.
Yeah, ESPN actually ranks Dupree as the third best free agent next season behind Dak Prescott and Yannick Ngakoue. So, as you mentioned, Adam, bad for him and the Steelers. Marcus, what's your reaction?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's tough, Els. Listen, this is a guy not only was looking for a long-term deal, so from a personal standpoint, I know Bud is really disappointed in this situation. And then, too, for the Steelers and the multiplicity in which they use him defensively. Look, he's lined up as a pass rusher here, creates a lot of pressure. We know what him and T.J. Watt does off the edge. Dropping in coverage, he literally takes away Mark Andrews from Lamar Jackson on that play, and it ends up being a pick six. And then here you'll see him line up in the slot. This is how they use and choose to deploy their outside linebackers. And Bud Dupree was doing it at a high level. When you have a Swiss Army knife as a linebacker, a guy that can run, that's physical, you can put him in the middle of the line of scrimmage at times to defend against nuanced type run situations. Not having him is a big deal. Obviously, they lost Devin Bush earlier in the year, but to me, I would argue that Bud Dupree did a lot of the dirty work, did a lot of things to help T.J. Watt and the rest of these defensive linemen come along and be able to get that rush on the passer, but also defend in coverage. It's a big loss for the Steelers.
Steelers win, but Tomlin not happy.
To be bluntly honest, man, I'm really disappointed in our performance tonight. We did enough to win, but that's all. It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you, and it was in all three phases. We're fortunate tonight. It's good to proceed with the victory. I acknowledge that. But not a lot happened tonight to be proud of or to be excited about other than that.
Man, I mean, you hear an NFL coach talking about an NFL win, calling it a junior varsity performance. Are you as concerned about that as Tomlin is?
No, I think it's a championship caliber performance. Like, listen, NFL players are creatures of habit. You know, like we like, okay, our Mondays are very structured, Tuesday, Wednesday, because we're so used to playing every Sunday. And this game has been postponed three times. They've dealt with COVID issues themselves. I think a team that's not capable of winning a championship loses that game. And then they come out of the game, they point to excuses. Oh, we had to deal with all this stuff, the upturn in schedule, all that. And then a team that is capable of winning championships figures out a way to win that game. Mike Tomlin's doing a good job coaching, but they find a way to win the game. They're clutch in the fourth quarter. We've seen that over and over again. I know who the Steelers are. Holy Heat League knows that they're a very good football team. The reality is this. When it came to the moment where they needed to make those plays to win that football game, their clutch stars showed up and did it. And that's why, for me, it's a championship caliber performance.
It is a bad performance. I hate to disagree with you on that, Dan, because Mike Tomlin said it. You can see it with your eyes. A lot of mistakes. Three phases of the game. Ray McLeod fumbles in their own territory.
Right.
Dante Johnson dropping balls left and right. He's a professional wide receiver. The defense not playing as lights out as opposed to the pass. And when you think about it, and you look at RG3 was getting some yards here and there, running the ball, doing some different things to him. Imagine when they, if and when they play Kansas City. You talk about T.J. Watt chasing down or covering Hollywood Brown on the wheel route.
Yeah, up the sideline, right.
Tyreek Hill, or better yet, you look at that right there, that play. Tyreek Hill makes that catch.
Yeah.
And an even better throw comes from Patrick Mahomes. RG3 looked like he was throwing the ball from the outfield to third base on that, on a line drive. So when you look at that, there's major concerns if they want to be champions. And I understand creature habit. There's no question about it. But when you look at that, there was nothing the last night, or yesterday, better yet, that showed me that this team can go toe-to-toe with Kansas City based on what I saw yesterday.
Right, and that's the context that we're talking about this team in. I mean, an undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers team, we are no longer talking about are they good in the regular season. It's about how you perform now. And only the good teams, the teams that have an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, get that title. How do you play? That's the standard. We are talking about the coach that says the standard is the standard. So, obviously, Mike Tomlin is going to feel that way. But, guys, my concern for a lot of this year has been Pittsburgh's run game. I know we get enamored with the ability to throw the ball down the field, and Chase Claypool has emerged, and Juju making clutch plays. All of the things that you guys are talking about are right. But the one thing you have to have, and we've seen it throughout a playoff run, is a legitimate run game. And I just don't feel like Pittsburgh has shown enough of that between James Conner and Benny Snell to give me the comfort that they can bleed a game out if they get a lead against a team that has the ability to put up points in droves. So I'll be interested to see if they try to focus on that and get it going.
Yeah, I mean, your point's a good one, Keith. So is yours. I'd say this, like the Bud Dupree injury is probably the biggest injury to a non-quarterback of the season, certainly for a contender. And I would say that that injury could very easily take them out from we believe that they're good enough to win a championship. I mean, those two pass rushers are the best pass rushing duo in the NFL, him and T.J. Watt. Now 50% of it's gone. That could crush their championship hopes.
When you think about this Steelers team, though, a lot of it has to do with the schedule. They remain unbeaten, and they go up against the Washington football team on Monday. The schedule favorable for them, even with some of these issues and some of these injuries. All right, let's get Adam Schefter back.
That won't be an easy out.
There you go. Hey, listen, we'll be talking about that game. It's on Monday Night Football, by the way. But we'll get Adam back in here. It's been a wild week in terms of the NFL, the changes they had to make due to COVID situations. What did we learn?
Well, I think this window this week provided a real glimpse into the NFL's thinking now and moving forward, Laura. We saw the NFL carry on with a game between the Broncos and Saints, despite the fact that Denver had no quarterbacks. And we saw the NFL push back on the Baltimore Ravens-Pittsburgh Steelers game, three different postponements to the point where it finally was played yesterday, ended week 12 on Wednesday afternoon about 6:45 or so Eastern time. And I think that what that showed is that the NFL is concerned about isolating the virus, identifying the virus, or identifying, isolating, and containing. And as long as it identifies, isolates, and contains, the game is going to be played. We're 12 weeks in. The National Football League, the job is to provide football and entertainment for fans. It's exactly what it's done through 12 weeks. Hasn't canceled a game. That's not applause. That's not criticism. That's just the fact that it has gone on, the show goes on, and it will continue to go on.
Shefty, can I ask you two questions? My first question is this. What happens if a situation like that happened to the Ravens where they've got multiple players, but mainly their starting quarterback, happens in the playoffs? Like, I'm not going to say a name. I don't want to put in the universe. But, like, what happens if a star quarterback can't play? Is there a plan for the postponement of a postseason game because it's win or go home? And then if I'm an organization, do I have the ability to create my own bubble? Like, say a team and goes, you know what, I don't care what the NFL is doing. I'm bubbling my own team. Is that an option?
Well, the first thing to the first point, Dan, on star players or standout players getting the virus. Again, the NFL has been very clear since the beginning of the season that it's not going to postpone games on a competitive basis. Again, if the virus is not contained, then a playoff game could be in jeopardy. But if the virus is contained, in the opinion of the league, it doesn't matter whether it's an MVP, wow, whether it's a starting quarterback or a football player, they're going to play the game. In terms of bubbles, teams have their own little bubbles going on right now. The 49ers are in a hotel in Arizona. Teams function that way as it is right now with the daily testing and the environments they've created.
Hey, I like it when Dan asks a question. He asks two questions in a row.
Don't do it.
You can't ask a question if you're going to ask two. I'm just kidding. Anyone can ask a question on this show.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. And look no further than another great wide receiver, the Chiefs' Tyreek Hill. How about this ridiculous stat line from last week? 57.9 fantasy points, the second most by any player in a game over the last 20 seasons. Devontae Adams, also the only receiver averaging more PPR points per year than Hill this year. And Hill joined Inside the NFL on Showtime. He was asked about his first impression of Patrick Mahomes.
When you were in training camp and y'all drafted Patrick Mahomes, what was your thought after you watched him that first week in training camp?
I thought it was trash. I ain't gonna cap. I ain't even gonna cap, man. When he first got there, I was like, then who y'all drafted right here? Then who y'all drafted?
Oh, man. I mean, Marcus, listen, we all get him wrong sometimes. That's an all-time read, though, misread by Hill there.
Listen, he is benefiting from him not from him being wrong, L Boogie. And Tyreek is he's a good character, man. We've had him on. We've talked to him a bunch on ESPN. But to think Pat Mahomes was trash is a big, bold statement from a dude that got you in the conversation of being a top five receiver in the league. That was pretty good. That was pretty solid. I thought a few people were trash, too, when I first started playing with them until I realized they were way better than me.
Yeah, the good thing is no one ever thought you were trash, Marcus. Speaking of Hill, though, he made some noise on Twitter recently. An account sent a tweet that read, "Your first at has to race you with football pads on, so who wins?" Hill responded by tagging someone we know quite well. You see it there on the screen, Adam Schefter. Schefty, how'd you respond to this? You going to race Tyreek Hill?
Well, let me say this, Laura. If he thinks Patrick Mahomes is trash, wait till he races me. Then he'll see real trash out there at that point in time. Okay, there's no chance that I'm going to be able to come close to matching the Cheetah here. And the Cheetah is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of player. We'll race for charity post-COVID. It will be my pleasure, my honor to embarrass myself. But he will get to see real trash on the day that we finally square off.
Hey, listen, don't sell yourself short, Shefty. I've seen you run the 40 before. Marcus, really fast, give me a player that you thought was trash that ended up not being trash.
Well, it's not really relative to football, but I played basketball with Emeka Okafor, who ended up being the best basketball player in the world in college basketball. He won the Naismith Player of the Year, and when he first started playing with us on the Summer League Nike team, I was like, it ain't no way in hell this dude gonna help us win basketball games, and ended up getting drafted first round.
Yeah, don't forget, everybody, Marcus Spears, quality Hooper, okay? So don't even doubt him 1 second.
Make sure you keep reminding him, Mills.
I got to remind him of your credentials there. I don't have to remind him of any of your other credentials.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's get Adam Schefter back in here on NFL Live. And Adam, lots of quarterbacks with question marks next to their names in Week 13. Let's start with Lamar Jackson. Will he be off the COVID list in time for Tuesday's game against the Cowboys?
That is the expectation, Laura. And the fact that the game was moved back to Tuesday makes it easier for Jackson to clear through protocols. And as long as he doesn't test positive, yes, the sense is he'll be back and miss only one game for Baltimore and get back to try to help the Ravens make a playoff push down the schedule. But I would think that Jackson is back next week. And as for Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback has not been practicing. Again, left the game against the Bengals due to the hamstring injury. Did not practice yesterday. Colt McCoy was up, and it looks like Colt McCoy will wind up starting Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks as he tries to keep the Giants in first place in a tough road matchup. And as for the Dolphins quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa was limited at practice again for a second straight day. Brian Flores, the Dolphins coach, said he wants to take it down to Sunday before announcing any final decision. But clearly the signs point to Ryan Fitzpatrick making another start on Sunday for Miami. And as for Joe Burrow, the Bengals quarterback out for the year with the torn ACL, underwent surgery on Wednesday. And also the Lions running back DeAndre Swift was cleared through concussion protocol but didn't practice today due to an illness that's not supposed to be COVID-related.
All right. Very key injury updates here from Adam Schefter. You stick around. We got more coming your way from Adam. And it is now time for the Dan Wagon. Who's on it this week?
Week one this season, I made some pretty strong comments about this player. Now, he heard them, and he decided to respond. We'll take a flashback. Listen to this. Sunday was Rodgers' best game in the last 5 years.
I saw Dan say something about the best game I've had in 5 years. I think that's an exaggerated take, with all due respect to Dan. I've known Dan for a long time. We were roommates back in 2004 at the Elite 11 quarterback camp, as we were both college kids. Played against him a few times. I have a lot of love for Dan. I think he does a great job on TV. But, I think some of his takes maybe are slightly exaggerated at times.
Ooh. I, you know what? It shocks me that you brought that back. All right. Who's on the Dan Wagon?
Might have been right, though. I might have been right. Aaron Rodgers gets to join the Dan Wagon toot, this toot. Week. It's about time, because his play has been so absolutely spectacular. And a big reason why is the deep ball is back. I mean, his deep ball this year has been absolutely spectacular. I love that ball over the shoulder to Adams. This is a pump fake. This is a pearl that drops down from the sky like a butterfly with sore feet. Just an absolute bomb from this one to MVS was remarkable. They should have won this game just because of this throw. But he's just been special this year. He's got great comfort in this offense. Him and Matt LaFleur are seeing things the same way, and they're performing so well. Check this out, right? So as we stand here today, he's got 33 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That's a plus 29 touchdown to interception ratio. That's better than Pat Mahomes right now. Now, Pat probably standing today is the MVP. That plus 29 touchdown to interception ratio through 11 games has been done by 4 guys before. Tom Brady did it. Mm. Peyton Manning did it twice. And then Aaron Rodgers did it himself in 2011. They all won MVP of the NFL when they did that. I don't know. Dan Wagon member, maybe an MVP winner.
Well,
Raj.
Listen, he probably was already in the conversation a little bit, but now that he's on the Dan
Wagon, deal.
He's in
Seal
the conversation.
It. Go to Vegas.
Cannot wait for Aaron Rodgers to reference being on the Dan Wagon in his Nets press conference. All right, let's keep things in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, leading their division, as are the Saints, Seahawks, and, yeah, the Giants, okay? Then it's the Rams, Bucks, and Cardinals in position for those 3 wild card spots with the Vikings, Bears, and 49ers on the outside looking in. Keith, who's the best team in the NFC right now?
I would say it's the New Orleans Saints. And look, it's not all about the nepotism game, but it's about what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is a team that is staying consistent. They put Taysom Hill in at quarterback when we all thought for a minute there it would be Jameis Winston. But they also understand, Sean Payton understood exactly what he had at quarterback. If you remember a year ago, they went 5-0 without Drew Brees in the lineup. and Teddy Bridgewater took over. This is kind of the same formula with Hill at the quarterback spot. So they are the best team to me.
Yeah, I dig that, Key. Look, man, this thing is fluid, too. It moves. Because a couple weeks ago, you couldn't have told me Tampa wasn't going to be the best team coming out of the NFC. And I can see a lot about why the Saints would be Key's pick. But I'm going to stay. I'm going to go Seattle. I'm going to go back to my original Super Bowl pick and say that they've gotten some things that I'm really excited about. Obviously, getting Jamal Adams back was huge because defensively now they can be multiple and not really try to protect anybody, as well as bringing in Carlos Dunlap. We've seen that trade pay off. And I'm not just talking about sacking Kyler Murray and all of the splash plays, but if you look at his play, he's really lifted this defensive line. Guys are now starting to get one-on-ones a little bit more because teams have to pay attention to him. And then you start to see him get healthy. Bobby Wagner is playing out of his mind like he usually does. KJ Wright is doing a tremendous job. This defense was the question. We all feel like Russ and this team would be fine offensively, but the defense is starting to play better. And now that Carson is back, along with Carlos Hyde, and they can give a formidable run game to people that they playing against, I think only bolsters what they do offensively. So I'm going back to Seattle.
Yeah, according to our Football Power Index, the Saints have the best chance to earn the NFC's one seed, super important, at 50%, followed by the Packers at 29%. Sean McVay saying that his quarterback has to take better care of the football might have a point. Since week 8, Jared Goff has coughed up 10 turnovers, including 7 under pressure, both of which the most in the league in that span. Goff also averaging just over 6 air yards per attempt, which is second fewest, ahead only of Alex Smith. Marcus, it's very rare that we see Sean McVay call his quarterback out. Is he right to do it right there?
Yes, he's right, because Sean McVay knows what's at stake for the Rams. When you look at the rest of this team, the rest of this roster, they have just as a legitimate shot as anybody else in making a deep playoff run and playing in the Super Bowl, especially when we talk about the defensive side of the ball. And Jared Goff is that piece. Look, we've been in text exchange, Ailes and Dan and Keyshawn and Mina and whoever, however many text chats I got going. And I tell you guys all the time, my big concern is Jared Goff with the Rams. Like, I know people like him in the division, and I know that they put together some performances, even he has, but Jared Goff bothers me. He reminds me a lot of two other guys, one being Baker Mayfield, but more so Jimmy Garoppolo. And they are so insulated by the play calling and the minds of their head coaches and so protected. And anytime we see those guys step outside of the norm, basically get off schedule, or have to do something outside of themselves in order to win games or put it all on their shoulders, those are the moments where we see those guys that I just mentioned struggle. So I put Jared Goff in that same category. If he can stay comfortable and Sean McVay is calling plays and they're moving the ball and being able to do all of the things around him, he's fine. But having to put it on his shoulders makes me hella nervous for him to have to do that in order for them to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, as a quarterback, you can become more confident in your play caller and the play call than you can just your eyes. Listen, I grew up in the NFL in this style of offense. I was with Sean McVay with the Los Angeles Rams. I know the kind of coach he is. And so when you have a coach like Sean McVay that's so good at dialing up plays and designing plays, you become so confident in those play calls when it comes into your helmet because you're like, man, I ran this in practice 10 times. It worked all the time. I've seen it work on tape. And you become so trustworthy of that play call. You're like, I know this is going to be open. And so that's a good thing because it allows you to play so well. That's Jared Goff so many times. Number one's open. He's in rhythm. That ball comes out. And he's so trusting in the play call. But it's a very fine line because as that play call can come in, you could be so committed to trusting that that guy's going to be open, right? And you need to know that sometimes the defense wins the reps. Sometimes those guys across the line of scrimmage, they get paid as well. And it's a very fine line between playing that super level or super confident level of football, but also understanding that sometimes you got to get to number two, and sometimes you have to get to number three. And so it's a blessing to have a guy like Sean McVay, but you have to remain confident in what your eyes are seeing and not so confident in just the play call.
Yeah, the Rams opponent, the Cardinals, on Sunday. And, Key, I got to give you credit because even from the beginning of the season and during parts of this year when we've all been like, oh, man, this Cardinals offense is so much fun, you warned us that it might falter late. I know, he's excited. Hey, listen, what have you seen, though, from the Cardinals lately?
Well, I think you got to start, go back to the beginning of the season in Detroit. They lose to the Detroit Lions. Guess who the defensive guy is? It's Matt Patricia. Then you move on and come down to Miami. Brian Flores, defensive-minded coach in Miami, they lose to that. You push down a little further and you think about Buffalo and Sean McDermott, defensive guru. They won the game.
Right.
If it wasn't for the 55-yard Hail Mary, Kyler Murray's held under 200 yards passing. That gave him over there. So you look at that. You go to Seattle. They lose to Pete Carroll and Ken Norton Jr. Now you go to the king of all kings, Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots. They keep him in the pocket. They don't allow him to escape the pocket. Shorter quarterback has a problem getting the ball over the offensive lineman in hands of the defensive lineman, batting down balls or interceptions. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that they've cracked it to a degree. They figured this offense out. Like a lot of defensive people would say, it's going to take time. Give us 12, 13, 14, 15 games. And we're going to figure out what this is. It's cute. There's no question about it. It looks good at times. But you can't win big with this stuff, Dan.
Yeah,
just my opinion.
That's a good point.
You still have Kyler Murray who can scoot with the best of them, which does sometimes
help. You
got
to get back to running him, though. You know,
good point.
But the thing, and Marcus will tell you, when I get a hold of a little dude like that, it's going to hurt.
I know.
It's going to hurt. Yeah,
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that to me personally.
You're not a little dude. But let me just say something here, though. If you're looking to pick this game and you're interested in this, who has little shoulders? Dan kind of does. All right, let me say this. It's important. Sean McVay, 6-0 against the Cardinals. So you just never know how that factors in as well. A huge matchup of 8-3 teams in the AFC this week. The Titans hosting the Browns on Sunday. And Baker Mayfield has had plenty of success in Kevin Stefanski's new look offense. Only Patrick Mahomes has more yards outside the pocket than Mayfield this season. But don't count out the Titans offense led by Derrick Henry. It ranks third in efficiency behind only the Chiefs and Packers this season. He's just running all over people. Our Football Power Index gives the Titans the advantage with a 67% chance to win, but by less than 6 points. That game tough to pick if you're interested in that type of thing. Dan, you've scoured the tape on Baker Mayfield. How has he looked in recent weeks?
He's played good football for about 3 or 4 weeks now, and it's really because there's a consistency in his situational decision-making, and he's getting rid of the ball, not giving it away to the team, the opponent, and it's helping their football team.
Yeah, Dan did have to stand up, by the way. You saw him sitting down. He has to stand up when he talks ball. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, I think you are right, though. He is playing good football, and you know, it's not – that I feel sorry for Baker Mayfield. It's unfair how people judge his play because he was selected as the number one overall pick. Okay. There's certain expectations that come with that. And when you go back and you look, Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey, they wanted a quarterback that can play in the gun, throw the ball all over the lot 50 times a game. That's not what Kevin Stefanski and this new regime is looking for. They're looking for a guy that can not turn the football over, manage the game, make a few throws when they need him to, run the ball, play defense, get off the field. They're 8-3. And I think what happens is he kind of gets a raw deal in these situations.
Yeah.
Because think about it, though, Dan. Had he been taken in, let's say, 24th instead of number one overall, and he has his team at 8-3.
We're looking at him very differently.
You're looking at him so different. You really are looking at him different because you wouldn't take Kirk Cousins number one overall, and he falls into Kirk Cousins type category. Baker Mayfield, and listen to me when I say this, and I'm serious, he may never make a Pro Bowl in his NFL career as the number one overall pick. Mm. And it's because of what they want to do, and there's some pretty good quarterbacks in the conference as well.
Yeah, hey, Marcus, before you go, it's important to remember, too, that Baker Mayfield kind of rose up at the last second in that draft and became a little bit of a surprise number one overall pick. We found out sort of late in the game that the Browns really liked him and were going to take him number one overall. Go ahead, Marcus.
Well, such is damn life. We sitting here with a number one overall draft pick that balled out for his career and lived up to the expectations. I'm sorry. sorry if Baker Mayfield got drafted first. Ain't nobody sorry for his pocketbook and what the expectations was. We ain't drafting Trevor Lawrence first overall to be a game manager. And I'm, look, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Baker, but that comes with being the number one overall pick. So the expectation from everybody around Baker Mayfield, including himself, was to come in and not be relegated to managing games. Now, with that being said, I got to give him credit where it's due. He's been playing well. He's in a system. He's playing for a coach that understands where he needs to be as a quarterback, which is helping him out and which is the coach's job. If he continues to do what he's been doing, Baker will be fine. But to your point, Key, one overall pick, it's stuff that come with that, bruh. You know better than anybody.
Hey, Keyshawn Johnson, Baker Mayfield apologist now.